Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Wednesday, June 26th. Want to know what God wants you to do? Today's podcast continues the Life Principles series by outlining 8 practical steps to walking in God's will.
Well, God loves you just the way you are, and He desires to enable all of us to become everything we can possibly become and achieve what He wants us to achieve in life. That is, He has a purpose and a plan and a will for every single one of us. And He's more than willing to show us what that is, if we really and truly want to know. And the interesting thing about God's will is, oftentimes we think about it in terms of just the big picture. Here's what God wants me to do in my life, or achieve, or accomplish. But all of that is only a part of Him showing us His will day by day in decision after decision after decision. Think of all the decisions we make in any given day, and God has a purpose and a plan and a will for all of those. There may be some insignificant things. It doesn't make any difference what you do about it, what color shoes you wear, or socks, or shirt, or whatever it might be. But when it comes to decisions, God is interested in all those decisions because they flow out of our heart, and they're indication of what's in the heart. Now, how do I know that? First of all, because He says so, but listen to this. That's characteristic of God. In other words, it's consistent with who He is. How could God expect you and me to do what He wants us to do if He doesn't tell us? So it's consistent with who He is, that He has a desire for our life, and having that desire, He not only wants us to know what it is, but He is committed to showing us what His will and purpose and plan is. Now, that is true of a person who's made this first decision. When a person receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the Bible says several things have happened, and I'll mention them quickly. We are forgiven of our sins. We are redeemed by His blood. We are justified, declared no longer unrighteous. And we are sanctified, set apart for Him, and glorified already. And so, that being true, God wants to enable us to become everything He has in mind every day of our life. If we will follow Him, walk in His way, and if we will choose in those decisions. Now, that's consistent with Him. A second reason we can believe it is because of what He promises in the Word. For example, if you ask me to sign your Bible, I would put this verse under my name more than likely, the 16th Psalm, if you happen to want to turn to that, and the 11th verse. You will make known to me the path of life. You'll make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And as He says, at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. He says in the 32nd Psalm, for example, that He will guide us with His eye upon us. He says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one that we quote all the time because it's such a powerful verse, and He says in this particular one that He will guide us. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. It'll get you in trouble. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. And then I think about Colossians chapter 1 in this awesome verse of Scripture, in this particular passage. Here's what Paul says. He says, in the light of the way the Colossian people have been living, how grateful he was. And he says in the 9th verse of this first chapter, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, that is of your love and devotion to Christ, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, and all knowledge and wisdom and understanding. So think about it. For God to show you how He wants you to live out your life is consistent with who He is. Secondly, He's got promise after promise in the Word of God. Now let me say this. God will sometimes go to the extreme to show you what His will is for your life when you really and truly want to know what it is. Now, it was very evident, according to the Scripture, that He will show us His will, that's His desire. So then the question comes, that is, all right, so how do I find out? I believe that He has a will for my life. He loves me unconditionally. How am I going to find out what it is? So I would make some suggestions here, and I will just simply say this. Very early in my life, very, very early in my life, when I was a teenager, God just planted the desire in my heart to be obedient to Him and to follow Him. And so I had to figure out, well, how do I do this? And so one of the things that I learned very quickly is if I really wanted to find out, go back in the Old Testament and see, well, how did you work in the lives of these men and women in the Old Testament? How did you show them your will, and how did you speak to them, and how did they know for certain? So let's begin with this one. That is, if you're going to discover the will of God, it begins with the Word of God. Because this is where we find the heart of God. This is the way we're led day by day in making decisions. He says in that 119th Psalm, the 105th verse, he says, His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He says the entrance of His Word gives us light. That is spiritual light, wisdom and understanding. If you neglect the Word of God, you're going to get out of the will of God. Because there's so many voices out there telling you what you ought to do and how you ought to do it, and oftentimes criticizing the Word of God. And so the truth is, it's His primary way of speaking to us. So what I want to do is I want to give you all these ways that help you determine what God's Word says and what His will and what His way is for your personal life. And remember this, if somebody says to you, well, here's what I'd do. Well, if I were you, well, they're not you. And the will of God is not the same for everybody. So God in His love for us has made it possible for you and me to know without a shadow of a doubt, without a question, what His will is in any given situation. Otherwise, it'd be inconsistent. How does He expect me to know something if He doesn't show me? He's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He knows the consequences. He knows what's wise, what's unwise. He knows what His plan was before He ever created us. So it would be inconsistent with His nature and character not to show us. And the first place you want to go is the Word of God. And this is why Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 has been the anchor verse in my life all these years since I was an early teenager. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, all of them, not some of them, acknowledge Him, look to Him, trust Him, seek Him, and He'll direct your path. That's an unwavering promise, and everybody ought to have it as an anchor in their decision-making process. This is our assurance, here's what He promises. So first of all, the Word of God. The second thing is prayer. That is, if I'm going to find out what the will of the Lord is, I need to ask Him. In other words, reading the Word, I need to ask Him, Lord, what is Your will in this given matter? What decision do You want me to make at this point? How am I to handle this? I am to ask Him. With that asking, equally is listening. I must be willing to ask Him, then I must be willing to listen to Him. Now, 1 John chapter 5, 14th and 15th verses, are my anchor verses when it comes to prayer. He says, this is the confidence, the assurance, the boldness that you and I have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. If I'm listening, He's going to show me. Remember, it's consistent with being who He is. You would not expect your children to do the right thing if you never tell them what the right thing was. If you want them to do something but you wouldn't tell them, well, you all guess, that wouldn't be fair. And so God doesn't operate that way either. Now listen carefully. If you're reading the Word and if you're praying and you're not getting anywhere, are you listening? Say amen. Amen. Then you look on the inside of you, because it is not God who's withholding the truth. It is not God who is not willing to speak. Oftentimes, there's something on the inside of our thinking, the way we think about something. We've already made up our mind about something. Or we have some prejudice in our heart against doing this or that. And so we've decided, well, I'm not sure about it. And so you need to look inside and ask God, is there anything on the inside of my heart that's not right? So I've got to be in the Word. I've got to be asking. Now, somebody says, well, how long do I have to ask Him? Listen carefully. As long as is necessary for you to get in the position spiritually so He can tell you. So therefore, the length of time depends upon how willing you are to listen and if the timing is right. But to withhold it from you purposely, He would not do it. There's a time, for example, oftentimes, when He's waiting for something else to be right before He's going to show us what it is. So you got to be in the Word. Secondly, there's prayer. And then there, of course, sometimes He shows us by circumstances. So that every aspect of our life, and I want you to see this, every aspect of our life is important. Sometimes God, knowing our heart, knowing our willingness, knowing that we want to know what's right and do His will and get in His will, He'll allow things to happen that at first we think is a mistake, you know, blame somebody else. And we're quick to blame people, for example, that we think wronged us, when it may be that God just used them to get us heading in the right direction because of what He wanted to do. And I can tell you this, most of the time, 99% of the time, God just saved that person from making a mistake. Because we all can head in a particular direction because it looks like the right thing to do. It looks profitable. It looks like we all agree and so forth. If it's not God's will and you're praying, God, show me your will for my life. Show me your will for my life. I'm trusting you. In the circumstances, God shuts one door. What does He do? He never closes one without opening one. Our problem is, before He opens the next one, we're going, please open this door, God. And that's not what He wants. He wants us to wait. Because remember this, in the circumstances, it may be that the best thing He could have for you, He's got to work on you first and get yourself cleaned up or change your attitude about some things. So He is interested in every single aspect of your life, and circumstances are certainly a part of it. And I could give you lots of examples of how that's worked in my own life, things that I thought, well, Lord, this couldn't possibly be of You. It didn't take long to realize, God, this was You after all. Little things. For example, and I've given more detail. I'll give you just a briefing. I was up in the mountains, my wife and I, spending the summer. And a church up there, their pastor was on vacation, and they couldn't find anybody to preach. So he finds out that I'm down the lake and comes down and asks me, would you be willing to preach two Sundays? Or preach one Sunday? I mean, it was a circumstance. I knew nothing about the church, nothing about anybody up there. End up becoming their pastor and teaching in the Bible Institute. It looked like a circumstance. Listen, in the life of a child of God who's walking in the will of God, there are no such things as just these uncertain kind of circumstances. God, listen to this, God is engineering the circumstances of our life for what is best if we will walk in His way. And somebody might dispute it, but they can't prove it with the Word of God. And I've lived long enough to tell you it is absolutely the truth. The truth. Anything else would be inconsistent with who God is. Then, of course, there's godly counsel. Very important. Somebody says, well, you know, sometimes you get in trouble listening to other people. Absolutely. So I want to give you a key about that. If you go into somebody to ask for godly counsel, let's say, for example, that you're struggling, you're really trying to find out His will, and this is a critical situation, you just want to be sure, so you want to go talk to somebody. Well, let me say, first of all, listen carefully. You listen and say amen. You find out what kind of lifestyle that person is living themselves before you go asking them about what God is saying to you. Did you get that? You be careful who you ask. So number one, the person. And here's the second thing. You need to watch this now. You don't ask them this question. You don't say, what do you think in this given situation I should do? Wrong question. Or say, what do you ask? Here's what you ask. In this given situation, what do you think the Word of God says I should do? There's a lot of difference in those two questions. In this situation, what do you think God says about what I should do? That puts it all back on the Word of God. Then you're still walking in the right direction. But ungodly advice is terribly destructive. Then, of course, there's your conscience. Our conscience is the moral filter in our life. God's given every single one of us one. The more of the Word of God is in your conscience, the more accurate you can make decisions. Now, some people's conscience has already been seared by their continuous devotion to sin and wickedness and so forth. So when you say, somebody says, just let your conscience be your guide. No. You can't do that. It depends on how your conscience has been trained. Otherwise, you make big mistakes. So the conscience is a very important part of this. And when I think about that, I think about how oftentimes people say, well, I'm just going to trust my conscience. Remember this, you send your conscience through the Word of God. In the light of what God says, is this really what I should do? So you can't just leave it up to conscience, because the conscience must be purified by the Word of God to come to the right conclusion. Then, of course, there's this whole idea of a restless spirit. Now you say, what's that got to do with it? Well, I'm just giving you my own personal experience here. Here's what I've discovered. Anytime, as I look back over the years, anytime God wanted to change something about the way I was thinking, what I was going to do, the direction I was moving in, I'd get very restless. And that's God's way by His Spirit of gently getting our attention, because you can just be on your way heading in this direction thinking this is what God wants me to do. But somehow deep down inside, there's something sort of going on. And I can think of a number of things that come to my mind at this point, that usually when He wants to change something, it makes me restless. Now, otherwise, you'd be moving along and bang, God says, this is my will. Well, sometimes He knows that'd be too big of a shock, so He gets us restless. And what happens is restlessness gets us on our knees, and we begin to ask, Lord, what are You saying to me? And I can think of a number of big time, major, probably the most major decisions of my life have always come after a period of restlessness and seeking the Lord's will, saying, God, what would You have me to do? And then, of course, one step at a time. Most of the time, God isn't going to say, I want you to do this today, that next month, 10 years from now, here's where I want you to be. No. One step at a time. The walk of faith is a step at a time. Remember what He said to Abraham? He said, Abraham, get up, leave your family, and go into a land that I will show you. First of all, you got to leave them, and I'm going to show you as you go. 16th chapter of Acts, when Paul was heading toward the east to preach the gospel, and God stopped him and headed him another direction. What was he doing? Well, he started out on his second missionary journey. He was doing what God called him to do, but he was doing what would be natural for him, and that is where he was to preach the gospel in that area. God said, no, I want you to go to a different area. And so one step at a time, that's the way he carried out all of his missionary journeys. And the truth is, think about this, you and I only live a split second at a time. And so if somebody's waiting for God to show them the next 10 years, you can forget that. In fact, you know, big businesses or churches, nobody can make plans for 5 years anymore. Why? Because things change so fast. You can look ahead, but when it comes to specific plans, you have to be very careful about that. And then the last thing I would say would be this. And that is, sometimes He'll use very unusual manifestations. For example, look where Moses was. Backside of the desert, he'd been for 40 years. And so for God to speak to him, he knew that in order to get Moses' attention, when he'd been away from Egypt for 40 years, he left running because he'd killed an Egyptian soldier. God had to deal with him. Well, 40 years, how little did he know about God? So what does God do? He gives him a burning bush experience that was no question in his mind that God had spoken to him. And the same thing back into this chapter in Acts about Paul. What happened was that God changed his mind, but how did he do it? He saw a vision of a man in Macedonia and Philippi. That is, a vision in the West. And so everything in his human reason would say, well, I'm to preach the gospel here. He said, no, I want you to go there. And to get his attention, make it absolutely clear to him, he gave him a vision to make it happen. So there are 8 ways to, at least if a person really and truly wants to know the will of God, God will show you if you really and truly want to know His will.
Thank you for listening to God Will Show You His Will. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.